now that actually there's a movement amongst a bunch of people that they're just going to start withholding parts of their property taxes. If the state says that it's, and if the Supreme Court said it's a state's responsibility, right, and this is supposed to be a law, that they must fund public education, well, then, if it's a law, then why doesn't the state do it? So what recourse does a property tax owner have other than to say, hey, I don't like this, I'm going to withhold this particular portion of my property taxes, not all of them, but, say, for example, a jail's been a big thing. 90% of the people are really, really upset. They can't believe why such a big, fancy jail, better living accommodations than a lot of people that are paying for the people that are living there. And so they're saying is, the inmates pay for their own incarceration. Why don't they get a bill? And then here's another thing is, so if you withhold parts of your property taxes, they can't steal your home because you haven't, the only way they can steal your home is if you don't pay your property taxes for 3 years and then you still have another year to pay them. So if you hold out a portion, maybe that's what's going to wake these people up, because you don't seem to see any recession other than a few people being laid off in government. You don't see any of them losing their jobs like the millions that are losing their jobs in the private sector.
Can we give you at least Jack's perception of this and move on? We've got other callers waiting.
Sure, I'm sure you have. I'm sure I stirred a lot of them up.
Well, I appreciate your passion, I'll tell you.
Yep.
By gosh, I wish you'd called earlier when I was treading water here. Go ahead, Jack.
Well, I think what's being expressed is the incredible anger that we have created a taxing system in this state which forces property owners to pay way over what they should be paying to run government. I mean, if you can't get it from, the gentleman was talking about wealth being relative, but the fact is there are very wealthy people who pay a small amount, and what's interesting is they live in lakes communities where the tax base could be $10 a thousand, as opposed to Claremont, where the tax base is $32 a thousand, or even Chesterfield. So they get away with paying less taxes proportionately than there, if you look at it as a percentage of income, than those of us who do not have much income but own a home. We're paying greater percentage than we ought to be paying.
Well, and as you point out, it varies from town to town. So
yes,
you have towns where you can be rich and pay virtually nothing.
That's
if
right.
We have these multi billionaires that the fellow talked about, let them chip in a bit.
Well,
we won't take every last penny, but
if,
a few bucks.
If you had, as Bramante asked for, a statewide property tax, then you would have had everybody paying the same rate.
That's what he wanted, wanted a reasonable rate that actually did shift property taxes around. He got nowhere. But anyway, yes, that's we have another call. We've got a caller here on TalkBack. Hello.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. I
wish it were. This show ends at noon, and I'm exhausted, but go ahead.
Well, I appreciate the openness of the discussion and the way you guys are willing to, talk about taxes and how they're maybe not the best solution, whereas with Cynthia, that seems to be a foregone conclusion, and then it's cognitive dissonance that kicks in to shore up any cracks in the foundation. So you guys are talking about government and, how do we solve these problems? And I like the example that you gave of, if you have kids that are mentally handicapped, you should send them to Brattleboro, because the public schools are really flawed by design. They're this one-size-must-fit-all solution, and this is the same throughout government. Whatever you're talking about, they typically come up with one solution and then require everyone else to pay for it, to abide by it, and to obey.
Listen, excuse me, I just want to say, for somebody that may have just turned in, nobody here recommended that we send our troubled children to Brattleboro. That was a recommendation that was made 30 years ago by a school official in Keene who told me about it off the record. That person is now gone. I'm just saying it's emblematic of the problem we have.
Yeah, absolutely, I agree.
Okay.
And really, though, the problem is this monolithic one-size-must-fit-all system. If say we allowed people to keep the money that they earned to begin with and not pay 50% of their property taxes to schools who are spending $16,400 this year on educating each kid, which is just an outrageous sum. I mean, you talk about private schools, they're paying for a Cadillac and getting a, you know, a Yugo or something.
Hey, hey, I went to school in Keene and I can read and write. I think I think you're no, I think you got, I don't know. What is that figure you got?
16,400
That's 16,000 That's more than I thought. Anyway,
that's the budget taking the
Well, the legislature
budget and dividing it by the student.
Well, for heaven's sakes, the legislature sends us what $3,400 for each of those kids every year. That's not enough.
And says that first of all, the legislature defines an adequate education.
Yeah.
And then says $3,400 would pay for it.
But do we need public education? Forget the 16,000 caller. Do we need public education, or should we just
abandon it?
Yeah.
See, the problem with public education is that you have one method. So the parents who want creation taught to their kids have to fight with the parents who want evolution taught to their kids. And it's a win-lose. You have one group of power with government always wielding or, you know, trying to get a hold of the reins of power so they can wield it against everyone else and force everyone to have their solution. Whereas if we had private funding of schools, if we didn't have this one-sized must-fit-all education, I think education would take a very different form than it does today.
Well, we do have charter schools in New Hampshire, and you can, I'm not sure you can have a creationism academy, but L. Ron Hubbard University, but you could have a private school and charter school, and they do. There's one open in Alstead. Yeah,
and we have a number of parochial schools.
Yeah, and yes. What I've read from the charter schools, they're doing a really well job. Their kids test higher and so forth. But what I'm really talking about is doing away with, you know, everyone must pay to send a few people's kids to school, which they're the middle-class white kids. The government schools were supposed to be to pay for, you know, these poor folks who can't get an education and would be indigents running around unable to read and write. But that's not true. It's mostly middle-class white kids who are going to the public schools here, and that's whose education is being funded.
Okay, you've said it, we've heard it, you like it, I don't like it. I don't want a bunch of dunderheads running around that can't read and write, and I don't trust this to individual initiative. There are some things, I think, and then, you know, we go on, but there are some things that probably shouldn't be part of the free market in America. You know, the same people that sell us crap on television. I think health care shouldn't be, and I think public education shouldn't be. But look, we have the charter school experiment. Let's make it work.
Well, let me ask. Can I ask the caller?
Yeah.
Would you be willing to simply abandon the public school system and simply say we will turn over the buildings to whoever wants them? We're not going to pay the teachers. And we're not going to require kids to go to school. Public education in the United States will no longer be a right. It'll be a privilege. If you get it, you get it.
Yeah, I think there you're talking about how do we transition from what we had today to a system where parents have more choices as to where they send their kids and what their kids learn about and the way that their kids are taught, because there would be radically different, the market would be competing with itself, with other schools, to produce the best students, whereas today we clearly don't have that. The U.S. schools keep falling in the world, I think it's the Heritage Foundation's report, the American school system is ranked like 55th in the world. They're not even in the top 10, and we're supposedly the best. So tell me your question again. I apologize.
Well,
the transition. Yeah, from public schools to.
I think it would make sense to give them 6 months funding or something like that, and say we're transitioning over to a market-based system. Here's funding for 6 months. You guys are going to have to figure this out and figure out how to do this cost effectively. And
okay, would you do
take out the property taxes and let people?
You wouldn't regulate these new schools that are going to take over after 6 months. It's anything goes.
Well, I think it's regulations that have led us down this path to begin with.
Well, I know what you think, but
let me just, can I, you would say, let's privatize schools. Would you also
marketize? Privatize implies that government's granting authority to, you know, a few groups like the casinos that they want to set up where their buddies.
No, I'm saying take the government totally out of the school system.
Okay.
Just give up. No longer will public education be a right. Right? Would you also say that about the correction system? Let's privatize that. We will simply, the county will no longer run a Department of Corrections.
Now, in corrections, you've got to do a number of things. You can't just throw away the jails or, you know, turn all the people loose at this point. What you would have to have is a system that's really based on restitution, where today's system, we have a system that's based on victimization. The victims get victimized twice. The first time when somebody comes and harms them, their person, or their property. And then the second time when they're forced to pay to keep that person in jail at $100 a day.
So, okay, we got it. We got it. You've given us a strong dose of libertarian thought. The new program will be called All Kids Left Behind, and we'll pick them up and do what we can with them, I guess. But I think there is something between idealism and impracticality, and I'm not sure that your system would create an educated populace that we kind of need. I mean, if people are going to be out there going to creationism academies, who's going to run the NASA for us? You know, who's going to be who are scientists going to be in the future? Isn't there some? Don't we have some interest? Don't we all have some interest in seeing to it that our children are educated with the most rational and the best information that we can develop?
Yes, I absolutely agree. And if you watch the John Stossel study, where he takes the test that the kids are testing in high school over to, I think it was Sweden or somewhere like that, where the kids there speak Swedish, but they're able to understand English because they, you know, get a better education. They're like, these questions are simple. These tests are dumb. If this is the best America can do, this is sad. And if you look at why the public schools were created, it was to turn out factory workers who won't question their paradigm, who will just sort of obey the authority and go work on the assembly lines without ever really thinking about their purpose in life and just sort of be this robot.
Okay. Thank you. I went to Simon School here in Keene, and I did not become a factory worker, but maybe sometimes I would have had better benefits.
I went to public school from the first grade, kindergarten, all the way through the 12th grade. Yeah. So, you know,
Anyway, it's food for thought. We thank you, and we're doing fine, and we have another call. Hello. Yep.
Hi, I was calling to kind of follow up with the last caller. I thought he brought some good points. And if you kind of follow the logic, right, you could say something like food, for instance, right? Food is something that's essential to everybody to survive. And we have a very big interest in making sure that food is safe, et cetera. So if you follow that logic through, and we use your logic, then the government should handle the food system because of the fact that they're the only ones that can guarantee that the food can be safe.
Could the government just please inspect a little bit of the meat? That's what I'm saying, okay? I don't want them to make my hamburger. I just don't want it crawling with vermin, okay?
But that's part of the problem is that, you know, what happens is that it creates a false sense of security, which is, you know, every now and then you'll hear like...
Well, a false sense of... Why is it a false sense of security if they do their job?
Well, because people get sick all the time from... Remember, I don't know if you remember in Georgia, they had the peanut scare just about less than a year ago. And then before that, they had the thing with the salad.
Well, yeah. But the E. coli meat company, with no regulation at all, is a threat, isn't it?
Well, not at all, because the private market, what happens is basically people will stop, you know, frequenting these places. They'll stop going to these places because obviously you don't want to get sick.
You find a pile of people out in front of the restaurant, you lying on the ground out there, you probably stay away. But this is a very dangerous way to work the free market.
No, not at all. I mean, if you think about it, that's what happens on a regular basis. You know, when you go to a supermarket, you buy products, and if you get sick from them, you're obviously going to sue the supermarket.
And you
I think the people themselves regulate it through the basically because they can file a lawsuit against whoever's getting them sick.
All right. And you do the same with the drug industry? That is,
it would be the same with the drug industry. It would be the same with the school, the public school system, or any kind of schooling system. It would be the exact same thing, where people, because of the fact that we have an interest in getting safe food, safe water, well-educated kids, safe hospitals, basically, if you don't make your voice heard, if you don't have skin in the game,
okay.
you're not playing. And what's happening right now is we don't have skin in the game because we think somebody else is taking care of us.
Thank you very much. That's good. I think now we've had a double dose of libertarianism. You know this Free Keen movement? I've been kind of concerned. Is this too free Keen? That, you know, Keen needs to be freed. Or is the free an adjective? Is it a verb? Free Keen. Keen needs to be free.
I don't know.
Or is it an adjective?
I don't know.
Free Keen. Keen is free. That's where we want to be.
What intrigues me is that somehow there is a total disassociation, at least of the last two callers, from government. That the government is they are not part of the American system. That somehow government is out there.
Well, I'd like to improve the government, but I rather enjoy the government, and I count on the government to do certain things for me that I can't do myself. I suspect, perhaps it's just a matter of age, but I suspect as people think about it, there are some things you'd like the government to do. I think inspecting food is one thing, and there are other aspects of life that the government might be able to deal with. We've got only about a minute left, but we'll take one more call if somebody's there. Hello.
Hello there. Good morning.
Good morning.
I just have a little trouble understanding the whole philosophy that government is bad and that the markets and the free marketplace will correct everything. There certainly are numerous things, food safety being just one of them, that the free market will not take care of. We just saw what the result of an unregulated financial system is with the meltdown we had a couple of years ago. And I just really don't understand that whole philosophy. The free market system right now is paying CEOs about 320 times the average worker, when 30 years ago it was 42 times the average worker.
Listen,
is that what we want in society?
That's not what I want, I'll tell you. And I thank you for the call. We are right up against the clock, so I'm going to let you go, but I hope you'll call us back sometime. We're now going to take a break, and we'll be back on the other side of news. Okay, we got 1 hour to go. Actually, a little less than an hour, but who's counting? And we're going to be talking mostly this hour about the Keen Sentinel, how things are going, what you like about the Keen Sentinel, and if by any chance there's something you don't like about the Sentinel. We have the president of the company here, Jim Rumanier. He's also the title of editor. And I'll say hello to him in a minute, but first we have a call that may be left over from our last hour. So good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Good morning, it's Ian from FreeKeen.com.
We knew you would call.
Here I am.
Yes.
And I'm on with Guy and what's it, Jim?
Jim, yep.
Guy and Jim. Okay, so I'll be brief as possible. I didn't realize we're going into a topic hour here. First, to talk about the Sentinel, I think it's a great paper, and if there's one thing that's frustrating to me about it is the paywall on the website that sucks up like a vortex all of the great stories after 7 days. And I hope that y'all can figure out a way to still turn a profit and also make it so that your articles can be read for a long time by anybody that might happen to stumble across a link somewhere on the website. It's always a disappointment to click on it and then see that you can't get in.
Good point.
So that's my.
We'll introduce Jim in a minute, and he'll talk about that. Go ahead.
Okay, great. So you asked what Free Keen means, and I think you're kind of right on both accounts. On one hand, it's a movement that would like to free the general area of Keene, New Hampshire. On the other hand, it's also a movement of people who just want to act like they're already free. So
it's a verb and an adjective.
Yeah, there's no real firm answer to that. Also, to what the other caller said, he was talking about the financial marketplace and called it a free market. And I'm sorry, anytime you have government coercion, anytime you have a group of strange men and women telling people what to do at the threat of violence, you don't have a free market. So today's financial situation in this country is in no way a free market situation. The government is highly regulatory, and of course, as Sam was pointing out earlier, the regulations are really designed to protect the existing marketplace from new competition. It's really, that's what regulations are for. They're played out as though they're here to keep us safe, like the safety regulations that came up, the health inspections, that kind of thing. You know, they play it up as though that's, oh, well, we're here to keep you safe. But if you talk to anybody that's ever worked in the food industry, you know, specifically restaurants, it's easier to find someone who works in a restaurant than a factory. So you talk to somebody who works in a restaurant, ask them what it's like when the health inspector comes in, and they'll tell you it's a joke. You know, the guy comes in, the government health inspector comes in, he, you know, glances up at the ceiling tiles, makes the note, sits down, gets a free cup of coffee, a free you know, free snack or a free meal, eats it, goes away, and
Ian,
you know, they don't see him for the rest of the year.
Okay, Ian. That sounds awfully anecdotal, but I'll accept that it does happen in some places. We are getting a little off what was going to be our subject. I'm glad you called in. It's good to talk to you, and I hope you give us a call the next time I'm on here, and we can spend a little more time together on this whole area of what the government should and should not do. I just would ask you one final thing. I would like to ask you, because you seem to take the government as something evil. Is that correct, or do you just think it's misguided?
Oh, well, I think force is the problem. I think that coercion is the issue. So any entity that's using force or coercion, whether it's the common criminal thug that might accost you on the street, or it's the group of men and women calling themselves government, I think the people in government believe they're doing what's right. They believe they're doing what's good for society, and they would never, you know, certainly would never consider themselves evil, and they accept force as you know, something they consider necessary to mold society in the way they think is best. I think the things that government does that are valuable, you know, like fire service and roads and traffic stuff, you know, that kind of the stuff that everybody wants, protection. I think that because people
but see,
want those
I want
things,
healthcare. I can't. I got to shut up here. I'm going to talk all day with you, and we have another subject coming in. But let's talk again. Thank you, Ian.
Okay. Any old time you want. Thanks.
Yeah. Bye.